Hey everybody, this is PJ Farley
and Steve Brown and
from Trickster,
and you're listening to Return to the 80s. Crank it up, turn it up, and have fun.
Welcome to Return to the 80s.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
They're here.
Here's Johnny.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Return of the 80s. This is going to be a special episode. We're doing a new series called Return to 1989. And it was inspired by my Return to 89 co-host, Todd Monahan. Hey Todd, how you doing?
Hi everybody, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, your book helped inspire going through this year.
Yes, 1989 was a very important year in my life. It's hard to believe it's 30 years ago. I mean, there are times in that year that I feel like were yesterday, but here we are. So, best we can do, I guess, is commemorate it. So
definitely, yeah. Big milestones, yep. Yeah, so we decided to do like a monthly show, go tackle month by month all the events that happened, and we'll go over like the movie and music releases. I probably would have liked to have done the television too, but I can't really find anywhere what was the top rated shows for the week. But if there's something newsworthy about the television shows, we can go over that.
I know we're coming up on one big event. I think we'll probably hit this in the February or the March edition. Is the infamous Oscars from 1989? If you remember that.
No, I don't. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this was a milestone year for me. On the day that we recorded this, February 7th, it was 30 years ago today that I signed up for the Navy, and I left 2 weeks from now to boot camp.
Well, congratulations! That's a real milestone in your life.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't believe it's been 30 years.
Yeah, that was a while back. It's hard to believe that too.
Yeah, it's so long. I'm sure the Oscars happened when I was away, so I was cut off from mankind from February through like April.
So I remember that when I was in the Marine Corps. I was like desperate to know who won the Stanley Cup for weeks.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel, but I guess we'll hit that in another show. But the Oscars in 1989 was the infamous the Snow White number, where Disney actually threatened to sue because the ceremonies and the numbers before the Oscars started were so offensive to them and campy that they actually threatened a lawsuit against the Academy. Look it up. I mean, it was notorious in Hollywood.
But oh, wow.
On the 30-year anniversary of that.
Yeah, so that might be next month, either next month or March.
So in January 1989, I remember I was 11 years old in sixth grade. I remember my school did a Martin Luther King Day play, and I was Frederick Douglass in the play, because it was the plot of the story was that Martin Luther King, as a young man, was looking through a history book of you know, famous Black Americans who'd come before, and like one of my mm-hmm. friends, Nat Turner, I was Frederick Douglass, somebody was Harriet Tubman. So I remember that very vividly, doing that. And I remember when George H.W. Bush was inaugurated. It was the first time for me that a president, I mean, I was born when Jimmy Carter was president, but I was so young.
Yeah.
with Bush being sworn in, it was like the first time somebody other than Reagan was president. I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. And actually that election with George Bush and Michael Dukakis, that was actually the first election I ever voted in. Because I had just turned 18.
I remember that was like the first election that it was the first election that I really understood what was going on, and I remember paying very close attention to it. That was an interesting time in my life. But I remember when he was sworn in. What else? Again, you're talking about a 11-year-old kid. I think I had the flu also.
Flu season.
I remember being very sick at that point. I remember like having to miss a couple of days, maybe a week or so from school in January of 89.
Yeah, in January 89, that was when I was trying to figure out my life because I had gone to community college the semester before that, and I did horrible. Like, I basically had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, so I screwed around, and then I ended up deciding to go into the Navy. Right out of high school, I was thinking about joining the Army, and I went up to Boston and I took, it's called the ASVAB test.
I took it.
Yeah, and I did really well on them, but then it felt like they were putting too much pressure on me. I don't like being told what to do, so that I ended up not signing up. But now my back was against the wall, so then I was thinking about joining the Air Force, but there was no Air Force recruitment stations around here. It was just the Army, Marines, and Navy, so then I ended up going to the Navy, and then they saw my score, so then they were all excited to get me signed up. So, yeah, so all that happened. What's that?
I think you made a good choice. I mean, you know, Navy and the Marines are basically sister services, so.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, from what I understand, from what I've been told, the Air Force usually has the best accommodations, but, you know, I always feel the sea services are the best, you know, like, I guess that would be a good segue back to Bush, who was an American hero as a naval aviator, World War II. I always thought that was very admirable what he did. And,
you don't see that anymore.
No, do not. Let's see what else. I know that I remember that. Emperor Hirohito died in January of 89. I remember that. Another World War II topic.
But do you want to kind of like go through the list a little bit? And then, if you think of something, you can definitely chime in. So, we got a list of stuff that happened. And we'll go, like, we'll start with the like news events and everything, and then we're going to get into the movie releases and then album releases. So on January 8th, both the Broadway shows 42nd Street, that one closed after 3,486 performances. And the same day, Starlight Express closed after 761 performances. Now, I've never seen 42nd Street, but I've seen Starlight Express. And that up to that point, Cats was the worst show I ever saw, but this was even worse.
I always wanted to see Cats, and their the commercial advertising for Cats always said now and forever at the Winter Garden Theater. So I figured, hey, no rush, forever. And then it closed. I think it closed in 99, 20 years ago. Right? Somewhere around there, was it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I don't know if it's still the longest running one. Something might have overtaken it, but I think at the time it was like one of the longest running ones.
Right. So, that's kind of a big regret of mine. I never got to see Cats on Broadway, but I think my father saw 42nd Street. But yes, I saw that on the list that those shows ended their runs.
Yeah, and 42nd Street, that's a little bit notable because that started in 1980, and Jerry Orbach was in the original cast. You know, he's we know him from Law and Order, and he's the one that tried putting Baby in a corner.
Yep. And he was Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Yep. And then Starlight Express is the Andrew Lloyd Webber thing. Mm-hmm. And with Cats, it's like each song, there's not really that much of a story to it, but like each song focuses on a cat.
Right.
They have their own song. And with Starlight Express, it's the same thing, except it's trains. And then in between, they do a train race or something. When I saw it, they had a screen come down. You had 3D glasses. So I thought it was going to be exciting. And then you see the trains going in 3D. But it was like the same exact picture every time they did the race. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. But at least Cats had better songs.
Well, Cats was based on T.S. Eliot's poetry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the name of the volume of it, but yeah, I think Lloyd Webber borrowed fairly heavily from T.S. Eliot, who wrote one of my favorite poems, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. I'm sure you've read that one. That's that was one of my inspirations to become a writer when I was in high school when I read that.
Oh, very cool. Well, not too bad. We'll have to get down here with Robert sometime. You can talk shop.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he knows all that stuff. All right. And then, let's see. Next up on the list, January 9th, the Pat Sajak show premiered on CBS. It was a late night show going up against the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm. I remember Pat Sajak. I always thought he looked like Dan Quayle, who was the vice president with Bush.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
I enjoyed watching Wheel of Fortune. That was a fun show.
Yeah, yep. Still going strong too with that.
It's crazy. It's still on.
Yeah, unlike his talk show, I think that lasted little more than a year.
Minutes or so. Not as bad as Chevy Chase's a couple years later.
Oh, but yeah. But it, I think there were news programs and stuff that ended up taking over after that show ended. But then in 1993, that's when David Letterman took over that spot.
Yep.
After Johnny Carson.
Yep. I remember very, very well.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, also that day, two of my favorite baseball players were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Johnny Bench and Kyle Yastrzemski. Yaz.
Yep.
So,
Yastrzemski, Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
Yeah. I never saw either of them play. I was too young, but, you know, my dad being a Yankee fan told me a lot about them.
Yeah. Kyle Yastrzemski was my favorite player. I don't know if it was like his batting stance or something, but, and then I didn't like the Red Sox that as much after he retired, so then I ended up becoming a fan of the New York Mets.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's right. I have my world champion, six-time New England Patriots to lean on right now.
Right, yeah. The Red Sox. And if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, I'm going to jump off a bridge. It's like Boston went from, you know, can't win at all to can't get enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I can't see that happening with the Bruins. They always have a good run. Like the Celtics, though, you never know. They're not too bad this year.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of hockey, on January 10th, Wayne Gretzky became the NHL's all-time leading scorer.
That's right. And my son's birthday is January 10th.
Oh, wow.
He just started playing hockey, so I feel like there might be some cosmic intercession there. But yes, I saw Gretzky play at the end of his career when he was on the Rangers. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie At First Sight starring Val Kilmer.
I might have. That sounds familiar.
He's like a blind man in the movie, but he's a big hockey fan and he's at a Rangers game and Gretzky scores a goal. I was actually at that game while that scene was being filmed.
Oh, wow.
Wayne Gretzky is one of the very few athletes who I think was truly as good as he was billed to be. Some people that you hear people talk about athletes, how great they are, and then, you know, they never quite live up to the hype. But Gretzky was truly as good as good as everyone said he was. He could see the play before it happened. He could almost like slow down time, the way he knew where the puck, they say he knew where the puck was going, and he could think several moves in ahead of his opponents. So it's amazing to me that he started in what, 79, so he would have been in the league 10 years and he is already that far ahead of everyone else.
Yep.
Another statistic about Wayne Gretzky: if Wayne Gretzky had never scored a single NHL goal, he would still be the all-time points leader in the NHL just because
with the assists.
His assists.
Yep.
Yeah, he made everyone around him better.
Yeah, that's kind of like Larry Bird in basketball over here. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, he's like a great scorer, but he's
a great distributor.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Yep. In this game that Gretzky broke the record, it was against the Edmonton Oilers, who had just traded him that season, like the season before.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
that was really the beginning of hockey in the Sun Belt.
Yep.
When Gretzky came to LA, that's when like the league started looking into having teams in the South.
Yep, because then you got the Kings and then the San Jose Sharks and the
Dallas,
Anaheim,
and the teams in Florida. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, and then a few days later, on January 13th, Ryan's hope ended, 13.5-year run on ABC. Yep. I don't know anything about that. My mom watched the soap operas on NBC, Days of Our Lives and Another World, so I'm not that familiar with Ryan's Hope, but some people out there might be.
I don't remember that one too well either, I have to say. But yeah, those soap operas were fun.
Yeah, there's not too many left now. And then, like we were talking about, on January 20th was the inauguration of George H.W. Bush, who just recently passed away.
Yeah, you know, really... really the last of the old breed. You know, he had served in World War II, real American hero, and then worked his way up, congressman, head of the CIA, vice president. I just don't think that individuals like that are going to be around anymore. Real dedicated public servants. Fairly nonpartisan. I mean, he was a Republican, he considered himself a conservative, but by today's standards, he wasn't really that conservative at all.
No. I think he's basically the last one before things got really nasty.
Yeah.
With between like when Clinton came into office, like with Newt Gingrich starting all that, and then kind of like divided everybody, and it's just gotten worse since then.
It was just sort of the end of, it was the end of the, you know, the sort of post World War II generation, and then the baby boomer generation came in, and I think they had a different concept of collegiality in government, like, because like you said, most of the dysfunction and the toxicity in today's politics can be traced back to Newt Gingrich in the mid 90s with his opposition to Clinton.
Yep. Yeah. And now it's like they kind of disgust me. They kind of like treat it like a sport. Mm-hmm. So it's like a Democrats against the Republicans, and then we all lose out. But I don't want to get too much into this. I don't want to get sucked into this.
We don't want to alienate too many people.
All right, and then now for a real sport, the Super Bowl 23, the 49ers beat the Bengals, 20-16.
I remember that vividly. That was the Joe Montana drive when they were the Bengals took the lead, and then Montana started at the other end of the field and drove the team in a 2-minute drill down the field and threw the touchdown pass to John Taylor in the end zone, right? That was that game. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I know I would imagine you're a big TB12 guy. I had up until Brady came, I mean, people I know are going to kill me, but I mean, you can't argue with the fact that the man's got 6 rings, but I have a hard time imagining anybody better than Joe Montana. I mean, the man was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady idolized him. That right. was his favorite player because he grew up in that area and everything.
Yeah,
this was a case where I liked both teams because I like Boomer Esiason too. Yeah, he was the quarterback for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. But even though I usually get sick of teams that are dynasties like the Cowboys and stuff in the 90s. But I always liked the 49ers. And then I lived out there when I was in the Navy too. So, but Steve Young was there when I went out there.
They were fantastic in the in the 80s, the 49ers. Yep. And then my Giants knocked them off in the game in 1991. That was one of my happiest childhood sports memories. I remember that vividly. But yeah, I remember the 89 Super Bowl. Montana was just he could do things that no one else could do.
Yep. All right, and then the Oscars weren't yet, but the Golden Globes were held.
Mm-hmm.
What was the date on the 28th, January 28th? So for the movies, Rain Man won
mm-hmm.
Best Drama, and then Working Girl won Best Musical Comedy. That's a movie that I still haven't seen yet.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. See, Best Actor was Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
From Rain Man. It's like Jodie Foster won from The Accused as Best Actress.
Remember that? Yeah, I remember that movie. That's a hard movie to watch.
Yeah. And then the Best Performance in Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, Tom Hanks from Big.
Yes, Big.
Love that movie. And then Melanie Griffith from Working Girl.
Yep. Tom Hanks is my favorite actor.
Yeah, he's...
I love Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he could do it all, drama and comedy. I'd love to see him in more comedies again. Martin Landau won Best Supporting Actor for Tucker, The Man in His Dream.
Yep.
And then Sigourney Weaver won for Working Girl. Working Girl's like cleaning house here.
I forgot how many awards that won.
Yeah.
I
don't know what it did in the Oscars, but we'll get to that one of these months. Best Director, Clint Eastwood for Bird, which I don't know that one.
I don't either.
And that's it for like the big ones. And then television, 30-something won Best Drama.
Oh, yeah, I remember that show.
Yep. Scott Ryan, who's been a guest on here, he wrote a book, 30-something at 30, because it just hit 30 years since 30-something started, maybe a couple of years ago. So, yep. And then the Wonder Years won Best... I don't know why they throw Best Musical or Comedy in there, but yep, The Wonder Years.
That was one of my favorite shows ever. It was, you know, my father would watch that show like tearfully, saying he lived it. You know, it was just so nostalgic for people of a certain age.
Yeah, that's almost kind of like the Goldbergs for us now.
Right. When I wrote Dreamin' in 89, I wanted to sort of capture the essence of The Wonder Years. For the characters and my own experience during that era.
Definitely. Yeah. And that, I think that felt that way. Yep. See, Best Actor, Ron Perlman for Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
And Jill Eikenberry from LA Law.
Yeah. Another great show.
And then for Best Performance, Musical Comedy, Michael J. Fox, Alex P. Keaton.
Oh yeah. Love Michael J. Fox. Poor guy. What a hero he is.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, and Candace Bergen for Murphy Brown.
Wow, that was out. That was, I thought that started later than that, but I guess so. I guess that was already out.
Yeah. I think it got bigger in the.
Like, early... Seinfeld actually premiered in 89, but it didn't really take off until like a year or two later.
Yep. I think that's about it. Then it's all miniseries stuff. You don't really see too many miniseries on TV now because you got all Netflix and everything. So
I remember miniseries like North and South.
Yep.
And there was the one about Napoleon and the Winds of War and War and Remembrance. Miniseries were big.
Ooh.
I remember that.
Yeah, there was Centennial is my favorite. There was Centennial, and then actually the one that won the awards, and this one was War and Remembrance.
Yeah, I remember watching War and Remembrance based on Herman Wouk's novels.
All right, so if we can get into the movie releases from this year and look at through these, I don't think I've seen a single one, but it looks like I'm going to have to go and watch these because some of these look really good.
I had the same reaction that I don't recall really having seen any of those. January supposedly kind of a slow month for movies, though, they say. That's when the studios dump a lot of their not quite as good properties.
Yeah.
So maybe that explains it.
Yeah. And there's only like two dates that I found where the movies got released on January 13th. And I've heard of most of these, like Gleam in the Cube.
That I actually did see with Christian Slater.
Yeah. I was watching the trailer for it. It looks really good, actually.
It was all right. Yeah. He was big for a while.
Yep. Yeah, he was young in that.
Yeah.
And then Deep Star 6, aliens underwater.
I remember that. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I just know it from the poster of it with the deep sea suit like cut in half.
Yep.
And then The January Man, which I had never heard of, but there's good people in it. It's like a comedy thriller. Kevin Kline's in it. Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, it does seem like a good cast.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's all Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio and actually Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, that I looked at the trailer for that, and that looked really good too. All right, and then January 27th, No Retreat, No Surrender 2. I didn't see the first one or the second one, but I guess the second one had nothing to do with the first one.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was actually released in the Philippines in 1987, but then it, you know, was released on this date on January 27th in 1989 here. And then another one that I never heard of, Parents. It stars Randy Quaid and Mary Beth Hurt.
Which one was that?
Parents.
Hmm.
So the way it's a black comedy horror film.
Interesting.
Yeah, I had never heard of that. And then this next one is a movie that I heard of but totally forgot about. I never saw it. Physical Evidence. It's a crime thriller film. Yeah. It stars Burt Reynolds.
That one I remember. Burt Reynolds just passed away.
Yep. And then probably the most popular out of all of these was Three Fugitives, which I haven't seen, but I remember when it was out. That's with Nick Nolte and Martin Short.
Yes, I remember.
I think Nick Nolte had just gotten out of jail for armed robbery or something. Then he happened to be in a bank, and then Martin Short ended up holding up the bank to get money for his kid, and then he took Nick Nolte hostage.
Yeah.
I love Martin Short. I'm sure it's like a really good movie.
He was funny. He had some real hits in the 80s, like Three Amigos and...
Yep.
The 80s was really a golden age of comedy.
Yeah. Alright. And that was it for the movies that were released in January. Or at least the big ones anyway. Well, the bigger ones. Alright, and then we can get into the album releases. Okay. This is quite a assortment.
Okay, yeah, but
on January 9th, A Show of Hands by Rush. It's like a live album.
Okay, I remember Rush.
Yeah. Yeah, then I like them. It seems like people are really like all in, like totally in love with them. That's all they talk about, or people don't care. Yeah. So
definitely.
I feel like that the people that really love them have seen them in concert. They must put on an incredible show. So that's a live album that was out. And then January 10th, New York by Lou Reed. I was listening to it. There's like a couple of good songs on there. I'm not like a big Lou Reed fan. Like I don't know. It feels like he's one of the ones that you're supposed to like, but he mostly like talks through his songs.
Right.
But there's some pretty good ones on there. I think that was like one of his better ones. And then on January 23rd, Oh Yes I Can by David Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his second solo album. Of course, right. Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Stills and Nash.
And Young. And he was the one in the Birds, right? I always get them confused.
Which one?
David Crosby.
Was the one in...
The Birds, I think.
I don't quite remember.
Yeah. And then the same day that David Crosby came out was... Loked After Dark by Tone Loke.
I remember him now.
Wild Thing.
Wild Thing.
Those are like pretty big hits. Right. It was like one of those things, the songs kind of sounded the same, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was fun. That's when rap was fun.
Yep.
Before it got so dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny how... rap and rock music got dark in the 90s.
Yeah.
Between grunge and then the rap. Same thing.
Yeah.
See, on January 24th, Electric Youth by Debbie Gibson.
Okay.
One of my 80s crushes.
Yep. Yes, you and every other American male in the 80s.
Of course.
Everybody was in love with her.
Oh yeah.
She's like the Britney Spears of the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So talented. Yeah. That was the album that Lost in Your Eyes, her like trademark hit, was on that album. And then Skid Row was also on that same day, their self-titled debut album.
Yep. I remember the skater kids in my class would like listen to those. That was, you know what I mean? If you were cool, you listened to Skid Row.
Yeah, I love them. Of course, like I said, I was getting ready to join the Navy then, so I didn't know about them really until I was in California after I got out of boot camp and school and everything, and then I got into them. Mm-hmm. That's a really good album. Yep. Then January 25th, After the War by Gary Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He's like he's kind of like a rock guitarist. I think he's from Ireland. He has some little bit of Celtic rock music in there and some other like mainstream rock. But then he was like on hiatus for a few years after this, and then he started playing blues. He got into the blues.
Okay.
So this was basically his last rock album. All right, and then January 30th, Fabulous Disaster by Exodus. That's the like a thrash metal band.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you would have seen them on Headbangers Ball back in the day.
Headbangers Ball.
And then that same day, going the opposite direction, Technique by New Order.
New Order, yes. I didn't start liking them until the 90s when they came out with they came out with an album in 93 or 94 that I really liked.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I remember New Order. Sort of like alternative disco, sort of almost.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're known for Blue Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Earlier in the 80s, yeah. Let's see. Well, Life is Too Short by Too Short, who I never heard of. He's a rapper. That was on January 31st. I guess his career was too short. I don't know.
Yes.
And probably my favorite of the bunch, the last one, Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich by Warrant. I love that album. That's one of those albums, every single song is awesome on it. Right. That's another one that I didn't know about until later on in the year.
Right. Because a lot of the albums drop, but you don't really hear the songs until later when the radio starts playing them.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they might have a lead single a little bit before, but that's all you know. And then, you know, as they release more songs. Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with Debbie Gibson. Like, Lost in Your Eyes had been out for, like, a couple of months, and then the album came out. So, yeah, Warrant, this had Heaven, Sometimes She Cries.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they got better, kind of stuck with Cherry Pie, so that's what everybody thinks of, but they're, like, so much better. So much, yeah, they're like better than that. They had some great rock songs.
Yeah, they were like one of the last of the hair bands, right?
Yep. Before grunge took over.
Nirvana and that type of, that kind of music took over.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, they were like a punchline with Winger on Beavis and Butthead in the 90s.
That's right.
But if you listen to Dog Eat Dog, it was their third album. It was like the album they released after Cherry Pie. That's like really good hard rock. So, yeah, and they're actually still around, even though the lead singer, Janie Lane, died a few years ago, but they're still out there. So, man, that's it for music. So, I think that's going to wrap things up for January. Did you have anything else? Any other memories come back?
Like I said, not so much for January as the year, like 1989 was sort of the year that I started to sort of become self-aware, shall we say. Like I kind of passed from my young childhood into my like tween ages. And so as the year wore on, I definitely remember more and more. So as we get further into this series, I'll definitely be able to chime in more.
Okay. Yeah. It's the same thing with me with, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was like young, but I kind of remember stuff. Then as you go on more and more.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to further installments of this, and I think I'll definitely have more to add.
Cool. All right. So how can you want to tell people how they can reach you, and we can plug your book again, Dreaming sure. in 89.
Yes, thank you. Yes, my book is called Dreaming in 89, and it's available at Amazon. It's also available at my website tgmonahan.com. I also have another book out. It's called The Vexing Heirloom. And that's also available at tgmonahan.com and Amazon. And I'm on Instagram as TG Monahan, and I'm on Facebook as author TG Monahan. So feel free to reach out to me. Love to hear from you.
Yep. And then if you didn't catch it, Todd's on episode 22 of Return to the 80s, where we get more into depth into Dreaming in 89. So if you want to go back and check that out. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Go ahead.
All I said was thank you. Yes, I would love for people to go back and listen to that and get interested in my book.
Yep, I highly recommend it. All right, then of course you can find us at Return to the 80s is at rtt80s.com, and I'm on Twitter at Return to the 80s, and you can look up Return of the 80s on Facebook, and there's a page, and there is also a Return of the 80s Facebook group too that you can join. I'm pretty good at approving. There hasn't been any jerks on there at all, so everybody's cool on there.
Yeah.
And then you can, if you have any questions, you want anything to add, do you have any memories from 1989, you can email at returnoftheeighties@gmail.com.
Love to hear from you.
Yep. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next
month. Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
And remember,
be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!